Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 12th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're joined today by one of our favorite people to talk to, Matt Lipper, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here today. Especially, I don't know if you know this or not, Matt, but today is actually National Farmer Day.
National Farmer Day.
Yeah.
There's Egg Day and Food Security Day, so there's...
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. It's understandable you can't keep track of them always, especially it's a little funny to me. Some of the most busy, if not the busiest people I know are farmers. They would not know that it's National Farmer.
They're too busy.
But it is fitting to have you on with us today. We do say a big thank you and appreciation to, of course, the backbone of our country, our farmers. The backbone of our world is our farmers and our ag industry. None of this works without them. And to that point, Matt, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Farm Bill. And I know that recently you've done some interviewing about that subject. For those that are not up to date on this, what is the Farm Bill that is being behind the scenes being worked on right now?
Okay, so it's a federal bill.
Yes, federal bill. Sorry.
And it's intended to be a program to the people. Know what's there for five year periods of time. And it first was instituted under FDR when we were doing New Deal programs, was when the first farm bill was introduced. And there's actually, when they rewrite it, there's things that say, should it expire, it will go back to the original farm bill. Mm. And obviously that's that's getting to be, 90 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. So times have changed a lot, and so some very strange things would happen if the farm bill would be allowed to expire. And I think that it was supposed to expire probably October 1st. So
I saw September 30th was the date.
Yeah. So it's never been allowed to expire because they dealt with a thing called parity at that time. So parity was the prices farmers got for goods at some time that was thought to be a good time economically, mm-hmm. for the farms. And since then, we've become so much more efficient that we don't need parity. Hmm. So if we would go back to parity, different commodities and things would double in price. Hmm. And the government, it's just...
Not
can't,
good.
It can't be. I mean, it would be fun to get twice as much for my milk for a little while. It's just not a good thing. So this is a problem that happens often, that the farm bill is ready to expire and the next one isn't ready. And if you've noticed, our federal government has been very distracted. Mm. We've had stopgap measures to continue to keep the doors open. We're responding to wars in other countries and
trying to figure out
voting out Speaker of the House. Yeah. And so the Farm Bill is slid to the back. So what they normally do is they just extend the current Farm Bill. And actually, I think we may be talking about this a year from now, because there is recent talk that it may be a year before we get to the next Farm Bill. Hmm. Okay. So, but that's why it's been in the news, is because it was due to expire.
Right.
I guess some other details, it's actually kind of a misnomer to even call it the Farm Bill. I think actually its name is the Food Security Bill or something.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So the reason for that is in the House of Representatives, you have representatives from farm districts, and they're all excited to support their farmers. And then you have inner city urban districts that are like, we have needs in the inner city and we don't, those farmers seem to be doing all right. We don't need to support them. Well, you see how hard it is to get a consensus in the House of Representatives?
We see that. Yeah.
So the Farm Bill has paired other food security programs, which is, it used to be called food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time since it's been called food stamps, but supplemental income for food and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
That is packaged with the insurance risk subsidy. Farmers get subsidized, not directly, but we had a drought this year. And I, as a farmer, bought crop insurance. So if my yield was hurt due to the drought or whatever disaster, that if my yields dropped enough, that it would kick in and I'd be insured. Mm. And there's a subsidy of that insurance. That's one of the major farm-related things in the Farm Bill. And if you go back to earlier revisions, that's not the case. But recently, crop insurance has been, for the ag part of the Farm Bill, fairly major. Hmm. But actually, the food nutrition parts are about 80% of the Farm Bill.
Okay.
So that's how they get support across the aisle, urban and rural, Democrat and Republican, is they pair these things together. You know, people in urban districts, they want their low-income people to be able to buy food through the food supplemental food and nutrition program. Mm-hmm. So it's a big program, billions, and I don't have it fresh in my mind, but it pales compared to military spending or stopgap measures for Ukraine or thing, and we just whip those off. Right. So it's still a big deal.
It's part of why I started started our conversation with how vital farming is. And this isn't a new thing. The dawn of civilization starts and ends with farming and ag industry and how important that is in our society. And yet here we are where you and I both have already kind of like agreed that we're going to be revisiting this again. We're going to be going back to this again. We're both adults. We understand why the standstills, why they play these political games and all that. And we don't have to dive into all that nonsense because we've got better time, but we can spend our time better than that, talking about a bunch of adults acting like babies. But when it comes to you, the actual farmers, the actual people trying to get these things done, how frustrating has it got to be to try to be in this position? Like, we're trying to get more people to farm. And yet you have our government and in these situations happening where it just keeps on dragging their feet or not getting the job done that they were hired to do.
Well, any business that anyone's in, you like to, you get to, if you're making a product, you get a contract so that you know how much product you're going to be making and at what price you're going to sell it. Mm-hmm. So farmers like predictability. Most farmers, when they were children, were members of the FFA, and there's an FFA creed, and there's a paragraph in there about how we want to be self-reliant. Mm-hmm. And so the Farm Bill is a little bit not self-reliant. Mm. But in general, farmers, they want a little bit of reliability and certainty. They're not looking for handouts, I guess. So yes, a little question, you know, we need to know what the next Farm Bill is going to do. And I should highlight that it's percentage-wise a small amount, but it's still a lot of dollars because it's a big bill. But there's things for conservation practices and trying to make rural infrastructure better and try to make us more climate resilient. You know, there's always those things. And I didn't mean to be critical of the nutrition part either, because when mothers with children in urban cities are able to buy food, that benefits farmers because they're making food.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea. It's a good program. And I actually was, there were some things in this last Farm Bill that were pretty good for beginning farmers. And we'll have to see if it makes the next one. But it looks to me like it could be all of a year off right now.
Yeah. And with this, and again, we're adults. We understand how bills work. It's never just one topic. They want to attach this and this to it and everything. And many topics like this one, it's a big umbrella. And there's a lot under it. But it does seem to muddy the waters a little bit and to make these things that much harder to get them done. Do you think it would benefit something like this to just specifically get to certain things? Let this bill just be about this. Let this be about conservation. Let this be about that. Or are the worlds too tied together for that to really be possible?
It seems to be too tied together.
Yeah.
I'll take another example. There's a sugar program. So sugar is a pretty unique crop, and we grow it in the north. We grow it from sugar beets, but a lot of people think of sugar cane in the south. And we protect our sugar producers, and actually we have probably, as I understand, a little better price than the world price. because we want sugar farmers. And if you go back to World War II, it was like, yes, we need sugar. We need to make this. We need to feed our soldiers. So we have a sugar program. But now you come today, and it's like, why are we supporting people to make sugar when most Americans are eating too much sugar? You know, and so, and here in the North, where we don't grow sugarcane, I'm a farmer, but I'm not inclined to be too concerned about what the sugar component of the farm bill is. Mm-hmm. And likewise, in Louisiana or wherever they're at, they're probably not too concerned about what they're doing with dairy farmers.
Sure.
So it's farmers, but everyone's interested in their specific component.
Another interesting part of this bill that you were touching on there, Mill, conservation part of this, another part of this bill that are bringing up opportunity to improve the working lands conservation programs to better address climate and procedure needs. It's emphasizing soil testing and conservation stewardship program, provides a 5-year contracts for producers maintaining conservation in their operations. You and I have talked about conservation and farming before, and how this is a subject that's been long close to farmers. But I don't think we always think of it that way or see that part of it. How does this play into this bill, this conservation part of this? How does conservation play into farming?
Well, so farm businesses, not all of them. There's innovation and new people. There's first generation people that grew up far from the farm that are very important in agriculture. Mm-hmm. But certainly there's large component of family operations and farms. And people talk about, yeah, we've been farming for a century or we've been farming for 150 years on the same land. So farmers will always say, well, of course, we are concerned about our soil and our water. We live here and we expect our generations in the future to live here. So farmers obviously control a lot of land, and so it's a great concern to them. They don't want to be encouraged to abuse it, you know. So during like war periods, we've heard about rip out all the fence rows and plant row to row, you know, mm-hmm. fence to fence mm-hmm. row, crops, more crops. And in theory, we have some fragile lands that are going to erode. Erosion contributes to poor surface water quality water in the Mississippi River. And when we hear about dead zones at the mouth of the Mississippi River, that's connected to erosion and nutrients that left the farms and got into the water. We've been talking about erosion and conservation since the Dust Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Dust Bowl was an erosion event, so the 1920s right. and 30s. Right. So we've been talking about that for a long time, but now we're getting into, can we maintain, we're losing organic matter when we keep on tilling it. The air interacts and oxidizes the carbon. Carbon is organic matter. We have too much carbon in the atmosphere. So can we pull carbon out of the atmosphere and build our organic matter in our soil? Organic matter is good for making the soil more resilient, resistant to drought, resistant to too much water. So we like organic matter in soil. So some more recent conservation measures have been about soil health, building soil stability. Mm-hmm. So the interest changes over time. Here's another one. We've cleaned up our air. So the smokestacks that we had in the 60s were billowing out sulfuric acid. Well, that is sulfur in sulfuric acid is actually a nutrient. And we never used to, when I was growing up, we never had to buy sulfur for our crops. There's a success story. The air is now much cleaner in that way. And farmers now need to routinely look at their sulfur levels in their soil and supplement sulfur.
That's fascinating.
There's some success stories. It's not all negative.
No, it's so important to hear those and for those to be out there. We understand the 24-hour news cycle. They want eyeballs, so of course they're going to give you the negative. But we need more of that. We can't build and get to good stories if we don't talk about the good stories that are currently happening or that we've already Man, the trailblazers and the people that got us to this point, we do them an injustice if we don't hit on stories like that. I appreciate you sharing that. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I'm just learning that. I totally always learn with you, Matt. I did not know that. I'm sure I'm not alone on that. That's interesting.
No, it's a very nice story to learn about, that there are successes over time.
Came across another story that I thought was interesting and certainly fun to talk about today when we have you in, Matt. WisconsinConnection.com is where I found this. WisconsinAgConnection.com. Wisconsin cows sweep the top World Dairy Expo placings. This was just published a couple days ago. Two of the top animals exhibited at the 55th World Dairy Expo in Madison last week were the America's Dairyland. Oakfield Solemn Footloose ET was named Supreme Champion of the Dairy Show on Friday. The five-year Holstein is owned by Duckett Holsteins. This is a fun story. It's great to see this for our locals. But stripping away the kind of fun aspect of this a bit, Matt, these kind of events and these kind of things, these expos, they're vital to the industry. I imagine to share information, but also to bring attention to the industry.
Well, it was last week. It was World Dairy Expo. It's one of the best weeks of the year for me. Mm-hmm. I was there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then I switched off with my son, who was there Wednesday and Friday. It's pretty high priority because we're dairy farmers, so it's our most important show above field crop or equipment shows. And you didn't say where Duckett Holsteins was at.
Duckett Holsteins, yeah. Let's see here.
Doesn't say there?
I
don't know if they're the sole
Rudolph.
Owner.
Rudolph,
looks Wisconsin.
Looks like Rudolph. Looks
so
like
they're
Rudolph.
Not just
Shout
in
out to Rudolph.
They're just not in Wisconsin. They're right in the listener.
Yeah,
area.
Yeah.
And they're among the very best as far as a really elite, certainly show cattle. You know, there's all different niches of types of cattle, cattle that a commercial farmer might want, cattle that would be good for a kid that wants to win at the county fair in their 4-H project. And so Ducketts are internationally known. When people want to come to World Dairy Expo, they do side trips. And, you know, they're 2 hours out of Madison. There's definitely people that are going to want to come up there and see that herd because they are, they make milk, but their priority is the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very elite herd. And it was a fun week. The top cow is called the cow from Quebec, but actually the people that bred her are just a little ways in the border into Illinois.
Mm.
And the family were all UW-Madison grads, and their name is Urbakers, but now it's in Quebec, this cow. And probably there's arguments. Everyone gets excited about the cow of the year. Well, this is the best cow ever. And people are like, there's a cow 25 years ago. Her name was Tony Charity. And they're, she wasn't better than her.
Yeah, it's like sports athlete. It's the greatest of all time. Well, this guy was the greatest. No, this guy's the greatest.
It's probably like the Kentucky Derby because at least that's an animal. Does this animal compare to Manowar back?
Right, yeah.
But Shakira is the cow's name. Is an absolutely astounding cow. And I think a lot of people are like, this could be the best.
As far as the expo goes, Matt, what are the headlines from you about what were the highlights for you about the expo?
So for expo, there's a little tension in expo, too, about it's a cow show. But there's a lot of people that don't show cows.
Mm.
And so there's also a commercial, show for who am I buying vaccines from? Who am I going to update my milking parlor with? Who am I going to buy my crop seeds for? All these other inputs. There's a trade show. So there's different little areas. There's something for everyone. And I think they had they said the 55th. Is that what they said?
Yes, yes.
So there was a year. I think it was just one. There was no expo because of the pandemic. So since the 1967 or whenever it started, That gives you an idea of the scale of the pandemic, because it was the only time since then that we didn't have World Dairy Expo. But for me, I actually worked in the ring a little bit. Extension has a booth, so I get to network and meet a lot of people there. There's some educational exhibits, speakers, and I'm an educator, so I made a point to go to that. And I also got out into the barn and was really reminded of, we know there's economic struggles in this industry, but there's a lot of success too. Mm-hmm. When you go out in the barn and see the exhibits the farmers are putting together, it's pretty impressive. Mm. So I enjoyed it. Always do.
Very good to hear. Very good to hear. When it comes to topics in this field right now, Matt, what are you and your fellow farmers, what do you guys have your eye on? What are you, is the main focus for you right now? We've got a couple minutes left. I thought it'd be a nice way to wrap up.
Well, it's always about the economics. I really think one way or the other, you know, mm-hmm. So right now, we had a drought this summer. People are short on feed. It's a good day for it to be National Farmer Day, because this is like a peak harvest day. If you go out in the country, the combines are starting on corn. They're hardcore into soybeans. People are just finishing up with corn silage. There's some hay. And it's been pretty nice weather, but it's supposed to rain starting this afternoon.
Yes, this afternoon.
Yeah. So there's just pretty vital, pretty activity day here in yesterday, day last week's, finding out how bad the drought was on that soybean crop, on that corn crop, and where we're going to be going ahead.
It's certainly going to be an interesting winter, considering that. I don't know. I'm one of those people that is a nerd about weather, and I'm reading up on the old Farmer's Almanac and a lot of those things.
What do we have now? El Nino in place now?
Yes. And we are looking at a real dry winter, they're saying. So any rain we're getting now to when that snow falls is a blessing. It's going to hopefully only help us come spring in that. And that is the extent of what I know. I don't know a whole lot about it, but what I understand, that is what we're looking at going forward, or where this is the El Nino is going to be taking us this particular winter.
Yeah. It's never that may be the most likely outcome, but sometimes it fools us completely, right?
As my Nana liked to say to us as kids, you want to make God laugh, make plans. it's one of those things. Weather is no different. Yeah. You can go ahead and plan around the weather all you want. Mother Nature's going to do her thing. Mm-hmm. Matt, we always appreciate the time, always learn something with you. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know some more from you, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, so we are in the courthouse in Wisconsin Rapids. Ground floor in the extension office. We take walk-ins. I'm also in Neillsville in the courthouse. We have websites. So if you just get on your search engine and look up Extension Wood County, you'll find us. We have phone numbers there. Our main line is 715-423-8440. And we are also Facebook presence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We put out newsletters, so we try really hard to reach people in the ways that people want to be reached.
Yeah, that website, wood.extension.wisc.edu, and as Matt said, you type into your search bar, Wood County Extension, some form of that, it will pop up right away. I've tried it a couple different times, and that website always pops up right away. Again, wood.extension.wisc.edu. Always appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.